What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Watching with Wessner. I'm your host, Peyton Wessner, credential media of the Missouri Valley Conference, American Athletic Conference, as well as the Indianapolis Indians and Louisville Baptist Triple A coverage. I'm back a few days from Monday's episode 21, and we have a lot to talk about. I appreciate you for tuning in on this Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening on the East Coast. I hope your work week continues to be very well. As you may have noticed on social media, Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather is a go. So let me throw some numbers out at you. We both know Conor McGregor. He's the featherweight champion, was the featherweight champion rather, lightweight champion in the UFC, MMA, mixed martial arts. Floyd Mayweather's a boxer, 49-0, undefeated, arguably the best boxer of all time. So Conor McGregor in his career is 2-0 in the month of August. That is when the fight will take place, August 25th in Las Vegas MGM. He beat Nate Diaz last year at UFC 202. That was the last time he fought in August. Interestingly, comparing Mayweather has never fought in the month of August. Actually, that's the only month he has never competed in. As you can see behind me, ESPN is going rampant with the coverage. Stephen A. Smith, Dana White, the UFC president, was just on there. I do not know the official numbers and figures of each fighter's purse. It's going to be astronomical. I can guarantee you that. Conor McGregor, his biggest purse of all time was UFC 202, Nate Diaz, as I mentioned. That was $3 million. That was the UFC record. New York State Athletic Commission does not announce purse size. Financially, they just don't do it. I don't like it. It's the baby of the athletic commissions in combat sports, so perhaps we should expect it. Therefore, we do not know what Conor McGregor's payout was at UFC 205, which was his last fight. That was in November, UFC 205 against Eddie Alvarez. He masterful performance. Very patient, very precise, and as good as performance you could have coming into this it's massive. This massive fight against Floyd Mayweather. Obviously, we'll break it down at a later date. Floyd Mayweather, though, throwing out his financial numbers, which are quite impressive, and his fight against Manny Pacquiao, who was yearned for years, and it happened later than boxing purists would have liked, but an estimated $500 million in revenue was brought in for that fight, so Mayweather does sell. McGregor will be 29 on fight night. Mayweather's 40. That's a big factor. The age factor. If McGregor comes in there as a pure boxer, tries to weave his way in with his jab, and does not have the MMA angles, the MMA footwork that makes him so lethal inside the octagon, Mayweather will piece him up. But if McGregor comes in there, as we have seen against Eddie Alvarez, Nate Diaz, Jose Aldo, Chad Mendez, there's a puncher's chance. A puncher's chance that could shock the world. Turn the world of combat sports upside down. What turned the baseball world upside down on Monday night was the MLB draft. Although these very bright and potential prospects are years away from the bright lights of sold-out stadiums, it all starts in one place, and that's the MLB draft. Their journey starts and started on Monday. Royce Lewis was taken with the first overall pick by the Minnesota Twins. I was shocked, to say the least. I expected, obviously, you expect Connor Green to come out. The Cincinnati Reds took him. He can throw 102. So, obviously, that is what is his appeal. He's a fastball pitcher, and with that comes control. You have to, Hunter Green, excuse me. I knew I had that wrong. My apologies. Hunter Green, I beg your pardon, for the Cincinnati Reds. He was taken second overall. I expected him to be taken by the Minnesota Twins. Therefore, I was shocked when they went with Royce Lewis. Though, you see the high school pitchers. I have some interesting stats. Only 40%. 60%, 40% never reached the major leagues. And this is since 1980, first high school pitchers taken with the first 10 picks in the MLB draft. And that's stopping in around 2011 because no high school pitcher since 2012 has reached the major leagues. Also, if you average all their stats together, it's roughly around 30 wins is the average if you spread it out among all the high school pitchers, the prospects that were highly touted. Now, there are some outliers, of course. You have Dwight Gooden, Doc. He won almost 200 games for the New York Mets. Start out with the New York Mets. Won a Cy Young. You have Clayton Kershaw. Three Cy Youngs. Los Angeles Dodgers, great. We'll talk about Kershaw and what he's doing this season, which is magical and unlike any other in a way. He's on that list. Madison Bumgarner, he's won 100 games and has 1,400 strikeouts. Zach Greinke. There are some outliers. My concern is the average. The average pitcher that is taken in the first 10 picks of the MLB draft normally does not pan out that well. And we're seeing a stage right now where possibly these last 5 years could be a dead period. Max Fried was taken in the top 10 in 2012. He's had some arm injuries. He's in AA. Trey Ball's in AA. Outside of that, Cole Stewart, the Minnesota Twins prospect, he's in AA. The other five, four were drafted last year. So that is something that's going for him, these high school pitchers. The numbers are not great. And who knows if Trey Ball or Cole Stewart or Max Fried will pan out. Most have not, is my point. 40%. Sure, majority lies in these high school pitchers reaching the major leagues. 40% is a number that has blown my mind as I've delved more into this research. For the first time since 2010, high school prospects were taken with the first three picks. In 2010, of course, it was Bryce Harper, Jameson Taillon, and Manny Machado. All great players. Harper and Machado, of course, are all-stars. Taillon's had his arm troubles. Prayers out to him. He's made a remarkable comeback from cancer that was found out this year. So, in that regard, that's a bright side. High school pitchers, the comparison and analogy I like to use is of a thoroughbred. And once they struggle, you see a Tuki Sant, who's currently at High A Florida, Kissimmee, for Fire Frogs, for the Atlanta Braves. It's hard to get back on the right track. It can't happen. It's hard and challenging. And you wonder if it can happen. Because there has been small stars. I mentioned three outstanding pitchers in the NL West. Greinke, Kershaw, and Bumgarner, all high school prospects. None have been Hall of Famers since 1980. No pitcher drafted out of high school in the top 10 is a Hall of Famer. Kershaw, most likely a Hall of Famer. Bumgarner, definitely the chance with his postseason success. Greinke, most definitely. So maybe there's three right there. The great thing is, we'll just have to see. Two hitters out of college, you can tell I'm very... I like the maturity we see out of college kids when they are drafted in the MLB draft. They can reach as far as High A in the first year. We saw that with Corey Real, Louisville last year with the Milwaukee Brewers. He was in Brevard County. Now it's Carolina, this High A affiliate, the Milwaukee Brewers. But he was in Brevard County by August last year. There is that potential. Then you look at a Mickey Moniak, who was picked out of high school, first overall pick. He's still in low A. I do expect him to be in Clearwater very soon, but he is currently in Lakewood. Brandon McKay, Louisville prospect, following Corey Ray's footsteps a little bit in terms of being drafted very early on in the first round. He was taken fourth by the Tampa Bay Rays. Here's the thing. He's a great two-way player. He's a left-handed pitcher, first baseman. He was 10-3 with a 2.34 ERA on 140 strikeouts in 104 innings. Very impressive. He has a little bit of pop in the stick. 3.43 batting average, 17 home runs, and 56 RBIs. They draft him as a first baseman. And this is the reason. You look at Tampa Bay right now. They have Logan Morrison. I do like Logan Morrison, but he's not a long-term option. He is not a long-term fit for the Tampa Bay Rays. They are hoping, and through my perspective, He's going to do his rounds. He's going to visit Tropicana Field, report to Port Charlotte, get some swings in. And in a little bit of an instructional league environment. I expect him within Bowling Green very soon. Very, very soon. By August. And who knows if he can end up in top out in the Florida State League in Port Charlotte. Because with a hitter that hits very well for the high average, they tend to move up very quickly. And Tampa Bay, they have been very slightly slow with their prospects. I respect that. Because you do see a Dansby Swanson with the Atlanta Braves struggle. They have a great group of prospects in Durham. Right now they have Casey Gillespie, who would fit the first baseman hole. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. There is a DH in the AL, though. You also have Jake Bowers and Willie Aldemus. And then you have a great pitching prospect in Brent Honeywell. The Rays farm system just got a whole lot better. And whether it doesn't work out at the plate for Mr. McKay, he can go over, and left-handed pitchers are a high-valued commodity. Another player I want to mention, selected with the 11th overall pick by the Chicago White Sox, Jake Berger, Missouri State, third baseman. This kid is a fantastic player. Missouri State was ousted in Super Regionals by TCU. They were swept in a three-game series. They lost the first two. This is his second year with 20-plus home runs. That's what caught my eye originally. You know I cover the Missouri Valley Conference for basketball, so I do follow baseball. My biases aside, this kid is a fantastic player. He keeps a high average. And as I mentioned, that helps someone fly through the system. Another player that I could see in Winston-Salem by the end of the year. Looking forward, Matt Davidson. He's currently playing third base. Todd Frazier's doing DH. Davidson, a very low batting average, 245. You look at Frazier's even lower at 214. Both have pop. 12 home runs for Davidson. I'm glad to see him getting a good start. He was a highly touted prospect when he was with the Diamondbacks. He was traded to Chicago. Took a few years in Charlotte, AAA. He's adjusted, and he's playing well. He will have some arbitration. He will be around, unless the White Sox DFA him. Todd Frazier, however, next year he's an unrestricted free agent. I don't see the White Sox re-signing him. I love Todd Frazier. He's a very great person, a good baseball player. He is struggling in the batting average department, but he's never been an average guy. If he hits you 30 home runs, that's a plus. Frazier's 31 years old. Davidson's 26. Berger, he could come in here. He could reach Birmingham by next year's All-Star break and be on the cusp of being at U.S. Cellular Field. He's a White Sox fan. That's a great story. Chicago Blackhawks fan. Get ready for some Berger bombs in Chicago. I see a bright future for both these players, Brandon McKay and Jake Berger. And those are the two players that really caught my eye when they were selected yesterday. Moving forward to the NBA Finals, we'll just wrap it up. Golden State, of course, as I said on Monday, there was very little chance of them losing. They get the win, Game 5. They are the NBA Finals champions. Second time in 3 years for the Warriors. Is this the beginning of a dynasty? LeBron James, give him his props. 33.6 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, 10 assists per game. That's a triple-double. He's the first one in NBA Finals history to average a triple-double in a five-game series. Moving forward, where are we at? Is it just going to be Golden State and Cleveland? I don't think so. I'm at the point that I'm irritated when it comes to the NBA. It's a lack of competitiveness is what I chalk it up to. Argue with me if you may. That's how I see it. Let's just create a bunch of super teams. I'll get right down to it. Chris Paul, go to San Antonio. Paul George, go to Cleveland if you desire. That there could be some hiccups because he's going to have to be traded from Indiana. It'd probably have to be Kevin Love for Paul George. Still, you only have three great players compared to Golden State's four. Gordon Hayward, go to Boston. Go follow Brad Stevens. I think that'd be a really great fit. We do hear rumblings of Miami and Gordon Hayward, but I don't think they could get that done. Not with Isaiah Whiteside. You do have some good guards. You have Dion Waiters. James Johnson. I don't see that as enough. That's at least make it a 4-team league. If you want to take the, just take the, you have the 16 teams to make the playoffs, you want to put the other 14 in the college, send them back to college, play in the NCAA tournament, that's fine with me. We need some competitiveness. Because if 5 years pass and Golden State wins six straight championships, excuse me, that's fine and dandy that we're witnessing history. Again, Boston had their great runs. Is it entertaining, though? Not for me. We want to see adversity. I talked about the Pittsburgh Penguins on Monday. The reason I enjoyed watching their run was they had to go through some tough opponents. They went 7 games with Washington in the quarterfinals. 8 teams. Eastern Conference semifinals. 8 teams total left. Then they went 7 with Ottawa in the conference finals. Eastern Conference finals. And then they went in 6 games against Nashville. They were met with adversity. We're getting none of that with Cleveland Golden State right now. Cleveland, oh, they lost a game. They won in 5. I don't enjoy it. I don't think my NBA, the people that actually follow the NBA, watch it from opening night to the conclusion, to June, I don't believe they enjoy it. If you do, come at me and definitely change my opinion. I don't mean to speak for everyone if I'm speaking wrongly and incorrectly. I'm unsure what's going to happen with the NBA. This year was quite boring as the preseason pick won it. It's okay if they're met with adversity. But 16 wins and 17 games is not it. So what do we have to look forward to? NHL's over. NBA's over. We have Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather in August. What are we going to watch right now? June, July. The first 25 days of August. How about a little summer series baseball? Baseball season has been going on for the last 2.5 months, and there's some very interesting storylines. We have underdogs. We have Clayton Kershaw's greatness. I know. You don't want to hear it again if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan or San Francisco Giants fan, although you can throw some playoff failures in my face. And how about a judge? Aaron Judge, performing very well in the Bronx. With the underdogs, the Houston Astros and the Colorado Rockies. If you would have came at me in spring training, March, or even right before the season started, and said these two teams would have the most wins after the NBA Finals, I would have laughed at you. If you said that, or if you were a believer of that theory, you're laughing at me. You're laughing at me at this point. The Houston Astros have the most wins in Major League Baseball. Colorado Rockies follow them up with the most wins in the National League. Both are top 4 in runs scored. And both have done it with their arms as well as their bats. You look at the Houston Astros. They lead the MLB in strikeouts with 672, which is 51 more than the second-ranked Los Angeles Dodgers. 2015 Cy Young Award winner Dallas Keuchel has been fantastic. He's really avenged whatever last season was, which was brutal, to say the least. He's 9-0 with a 1.67 ERA. Lance McCullers, he is going to the DL. This is going to be a very interesting period to see if Houston can maintain their success and wins without McCullers going every fifth day. He's really came into himself as a young pitcher. He was 6-1 with a 2.58 ERA. Ken Giles, the trade's finally making sense, in which Houston sent Mark Appel and Vincent Velasquez to the Philadelphia Phillies for setup man at the time, Ken Giles. He's 16 of 18 in save opportunities. He did blow one the other night. Mark Appel, still in Lehigh Valley. Vincent Velasquez, he is coming into his own in his own right. That's a trade that made both teams very happy, and it's paying off for Houston this season. Then, at the plate, you have three of the best, I think the three best hitters since the Triple B's of Berkman, Biggio, and Bagwell, and Jose Altuve, George Springer, and Carlos Correa. Stat lines right here. Springer, 275 batting average, 18 home runs, and 41 RBIs. You go to Correa, 293 batting average, 12 home runs, 41 RBIs. Altuve, of course, 312 BA, 9 home runs, 32 RBIs. It's such a great trio, and they mesh so well. So very well. Houston, they're blowing away all their AL West rivals right now. Could they run the table like the Chicago Cubs did last year? Quite possibly. Though, if you've been a baseball fan for a long time, you know the best team not necessarily wins. They don't normally host the hardware. That's for sure. Young Guns? Colorado has a lot. Kyle Freeland, University of Evansville prospect. You also have Antonio Cinsitella. He's been very good, as well as German Marquez and Jeff Hoffman, the East Carolina product from 2015 MLB draft. They've been fantastic. Fantastic is an understatement. They have been outstanding. Terrific. All are 24 years of old, 24 years of age or younger. Cinsitella, 8-2, 384 ERA. Freeland, 7-4, 357 ERA. Jeff Hoffman's the player that has impressed me the most. He's 4-0 in 6 starts, 6 games, 5 starts, 233 ERA. Last year, if you remember, he had a very turbulent time adjusting to Coors Field up in the major leagues. He was 0-4 with a 488 ERA. How the times have changed. Marquez is 4-3 with a 444 ERA. And what impresses me, as just as much as Hoffman's success, is their collective success. 10 quality starts at Coors Field. We all know it's a tough place to play. Clayton Kershaw struggles there. These young guns aren't. And then you have Blackman. Charlie Blackman. Nolan Arenado. Mark Reynolds. Who would have thought Mark Reynolds is batting over 300? He has 305, 17 home runs. Everything's coming together under Bud Black. But the Dodgers are in first place. And that's in large part to the best pitcher I have ever seen. And I believe the best pitcher of all time, Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw's 9-2. He turned in 7 innings of 2 earned runs against Cleveland Indians yesterday. AL defending Cleveland Indians. While his numbers, strikeout numbers that is, were down, he is on pace to actually dethrone his last 2 months of 39 strikeouts each month. Here's the thing about Kershaw. If he stays healthy, that's a big if. He will win more than 20 games. I think he'll win 22. He has won 21 games twice in his career, 2011 and 2014. Here's the numbers. In 2011, when he won his 9th game, he is 9-2 as I mentioned. July 7th, 2014, June 29th. 2011, his last 15 starts, he won 13 of them. 2014, he won 12. He's ahead of schedule. He's basically ahead of schedule by 2 weeks. 9 wins. Remember, baseball's 6 months. We're only through 2.5, as I mentioned. If he has 11 wins going into July, wow. Start him in the All-Star game, Miami. He deserves to be. Only in 2016, last year, has he picked up his 9th win at an earlier date. That was June 10th. He missed July and August due to injury. He finished 12-4. If he stays healthy, he will win 22 games. Foregone conclusion. Tell me different, I deny and will not believe you. Clayton Kershaw, the best there is, will win 22 games. God keep the man healthy. Aaron Judge, the rookie sensation for the New York Yankees, someone I had was blessed and honored to interview last year in my AAA coverage, is tearing the cover off the ball. He leads the American League in home runs and average, 3 RBIs short of the lead in the third category for the Triple Crown. 341 batting average, 22 home runs, 49 RBIs. You know what I love about Judge? It's not how far he can hit the baseball. 495 feet on Sunday against Baltimore. It's his humbleness. His selflessness. This is a prime instance of a great player, better person. As I mentioned, I was blessed, honored to have interviewed him last year. You can check out that piece. I'll repost it after the Periscope podcast. He was so soft-spoken. He explained his approach to the plate very, very thoroughly to me. He took his time. And took his time is the most important thing. It's, as a young journalist, nothing is for granted. And for a player of that caliber to take his time, donate his time, is what is very, I'm very thankful for. What he said last year, which really, looking back at the past interview, what really caught my ear was, it's a kid's game, and we've been playing it since T-ball. Don't try to overcomplicate it. Go out there and have fun. Just enjoy it. We are living the dream, end quote. He also said there's always room for improvement in every aspect for baseball, end quote. This young man, he struggled originally last year in his brief call-up. Though, I doubt his attitude ever changed. You probably couldn't tell if he had a bad day or a good day at the plate. And those are the kind of players that become role models and you root for, even when they're struggling at the end of their careers, or they go through a slump in the middle. And speculation starts to arise of whether the best days are gone. You root for these players because they're a role model and their attitude and personality is what makes you love to watch them and love to hear them speak at the podium and play on a daily basis. Aaron Judge, pitchers will make adjustments. His attitude will not change. And I wish that man the best moving forward in his career with the New York Yankees. A player that has brought a certain aura about him that is similar to Derek Jeter. Will he have the storied career as Derek Jeter? I hope so. Moving on to Peyton's polls. I had a few poll questions the last few days. You answered them. Let's see what you said. Do you like the Minnesota Twins taking shortstop Royce Lewis with the first pick in the MLB draft? 48% of the audience says no. I gave my 2 cents. I was looking for Hunter Green or Brandon McKay. Did LeBron posterize Kevin Durant in the second quarter of Game 5? 70% of the audience says yes. That was the only thing outside of the average triple-double. I went right for LeBron James on Monday night. Whose team is it? For the Golden State Warriors, Kevin Durant, Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr said it was Kevin Durant's, rescinded it. Steph Curry's. 57% say Steph Curry, 2-time MVP. He's been there throughout their dynasty, unquote. Does any team other than the Golden State Warriors stand a chance to win the NBA Finals in the next 3 to 5 years? 40%, respectively, say both Cleveland and San Antonio do stand a chance. San Antonio, I want to see Chris Paul go there. Cleveland, if they don't get Paul George, another piece, a minimal minor six-man piece, like a Jamal Crawford, for instance, would be very beneficial. Now to our final segment. I debuted it on Monday. What is weird? This is basically where we find what is going on that's very weird and odd and unique in the world of sports or just the world in general. What? The Huffington Post reports KFC will launch a chicken sandwich into space next week on June 21st. What? They're launching a chicken sandwich. The picture shows it's going to be in a KFC bucket, is what it appears like. It will go 28.5 miles above the Earth. That is not yet classified as space. It requires 62-mile mark. The New York Times included for that to technically be classified as going into space. Who's going to eat this chicken sandwich? Is it going to be E.T., Guardians of the Galaxy, Baby Groot? I'll tell you straight up, if they're expecting Baby Groot to eat it, KFC's not his taste. Why didn't you send a halfway presentable sandwich into space? Chick-fil-A, Red Robin. Oh, wait, they don't need the advertising attention. Interesting concept, sending a chicken sandwich into space. No one's going to eat it, so it will definitely come back down if that's the flight pattern it intends to forego. KFC chicken sandwich into space, blasted off next week, June 21st. What? That's your what's weird for today. What? I think that's it. Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, August 25th. That's going to be about. Probably more of a skeptical. 26th, excuse me. August 26th, correction. It'll be a spectacle. One that has never happened before, truly. If you're watching ESPN, you'll learn more about it. What to watch for baseball? I threw it out to you. Houston Astros, Colorado Rockies. Great storylines. Underdogs at the beginning of the season. Aaron Judge and Clayton Kershaw. The best pitcher and the best hitter. Today. I really appreciate you all for tuning in. Great show. We will have another show most likely Friday. For past episodes, audio installments are on iTunes. Just search Watching with Wessner. I'm Peyton Wessner. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless.